This is Rebecca Lowe, or Rebecca Lua, if you listen to Suboptimal Radio, and you are listening to Men in Blazers on the NBC Sports Network.
It's unbelievable!
From the Embassy Row studios, in the crap part of Soho, it's the Men in Blazers podcast, Rog. You look different.
I do, don't I? Do you know why?
Why?
I'm power posing.
Really? What's power posing?
I don't know. I read there was an article this weekend in the New York Times.
Yeah.
About a professor called Amy Cuddy.
Uh-huh.
Harvard Business School.
Yeah.
And she became a TED sensation with her speech on power poses.
Is this like isometrics or plyometrics? Is this like bodybuilding stuff?
No, she's a tiny little thing.
Yeah.
She said, let your body tell you you're powerful and deserving, and you become more present, enthusiastic, and authentically yourself. And she kind of, all these business people hire her to show them how to nipples out, lad. And then as someone that's made a career out of power schlumping.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how I feel about this. I don't know how... when I read it, I thought of you, was what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, I've been working out a lot, Rog. Now that we're on television, Rog, I'm having to, like, get in real, real shape. Last night...
I thought our show was mediocre.
That's our brand. In fact, mediocre's a little bit too good. We weren't going for mediocre. We're going to
We weren't going for mediocre in episode one. We were hoping to get...
Building to mediocre. So, the morning after, Rog... We did the show last night, the worst, most suboptimal theme tune of all time. How are you feeling?
About the show?
Yeah.
I find it excruciating, honestly, to watch.
Did you watch it?
No.
I didn't. I watched maybe one clip back of the game we played with Adam Richman.
I want to thank all the GFOPs for all of their support. I want to thank NBC for essentially broadcasting crap.
Yeah.
And I think Adam Richman...
Yeah.
The one thing I regret, Davey, was that when he left the panic room, he's a very chatty, genial gentleman.
They're very passionate about football, Rog, and Tottenham Football Club.
And he whips out his iPhone.
Yeah.
What did he show us?
Started playing videos.
Videos that were permissible for us to watch.
Yeah. And videos of the Tottenham fans and Chelsea fans singing to him.
Recognising him at the stadium when he was watching a game. Where was it? It was at Chelsea, wasn't it?
I think it was at Chelsea.
And what happened was the Tottenham fans suddenly recognised in their midst they had a bona fide man versus food star.
He eats what he wants. He eats what he wants. Adam Richman. He eats what he wants. And literally hundreds of them serenading him.
And then they all started to chant, Fat Zavi, Fat Zavi, Fat Zavi. Yeah.
He does look a bit like Fat Zavi.
He told us many people tell him he looks like Fred Savage gone to seed.
Yeah, he looks a bit like Mauricio Pochettino as well.
I wish I looked like Fred Savage gone to seed.
That'd be a good
look. Pay money to get that.
You've got to do more power posing to get there, Rog. Way more power posing. Okay, Rog, anything else?
Well, one nice thing about the show was for us to trigger a tiny, tiny wave, I don't want to over-exaggerate it, of kind of like George Michael nostalgia.
Oh, I mean, the amount of feedback we got about the George Michael Sports Machine sign, I actually stayed up late when I got back last night. I just watched clip after clip after clip on YouTube of the old George Michael Sports Machine.
Oh, he's so much better than we could ever be.
Yeah.
But we've had emails from so many GFOPs with their memories. Did you know George Michael, in his spare time, was one of America's most well-respected analysts of baseball cards from the early 20th century.
I did not know that.
He was able, he had a remarkable skill, which was to identify pictures of players sliding into base. That was his niche skill.
Yeah.
And he could look and determine the date of the game and even the particular play in
just
the game.
Just based on the slide?
Yeah, he won awards for this. Glenn Smoke, a GFOP, used to work with him. He was a vendor for NBC in the early days.
Yeah.
He remembers sending them a sports machine, as you do at Christmas, to keep your relations. You send them the big tub of popcorn.
Yeah.
And if kind of like the interns or the producers took that big tin of popcorn, George Michael was not above calling Glenn Smoke and demanding that he send another one.
It's amazing.
But this is my favourite George Michael memory. I'm going to give it to you to read out. It's from Murray Sperber, who is now an English Lit professor, I believe, at Berkeley.
Okay, here we go, from Murray Sperber. Rog and Davo, I love your homage. to George Michael. I once met the great man. I was on a book tour for my book, College Sports Inc. 1990, and he liked the book and invited me to be a guest on the Sports Machine.
Can you imagine?
Oh, it's like in the presence of greatness. Before the show, he came to the green room to chat. He asked me if I liked the Sports Machine. I said that I really did, because I really did. He asked if I had any criticisms of it. I said that I had one. He often describes sports action with the conditional would. For example, Andre Dawson would fade back and would make a great leaping catch. And I found this grammatical use distracting. What should I say? He asked. Use the past tense. Andre Dawson faded back, or even the present. Andre Dawson fades back, but not the conditional. He nodded and went off. Later, in introducing me, he said, Murray Sperber has written a great book and he is a great grammarian. He wasn't being funny or ironic. He was just a straight-ahead good guy. However, he continued using would, and hundreds of sportscasters picked it up from him, and it would continue to this day. That's so funny. So Frank Lampard would come on, and he would score
when he's
against his old club.
When he's recording the highlights.
Yeah, is that the conditional?
I'm not arguing with
it's
Murray
Sperber. It's not the subjunctive. Yeah, it must be. He's a great grammarian.
You know,
yeah, we can't possibly argue with him.
I have to say, it's been a wondrous week.
Yeah.
For us, a real tribute to crap broadcasting in America.
Yeah.
But rightly so, Davey.
Yeah.
Rightly so. All of it was trumped by sweet, sweet football.
Oh, sweet narrative. Sweet narrative. We've got a packed show, Rog. We're 5/38 of the way through the season. That does not reduce. Liverpool United both lose. City and Chelsea draw. Frank Lampard would score the equaliser. And Carl Martino would unleash the perfect tie knot. Also, we've got an opportunity for our GFOPs to win one of 10 copies, Rog, of the new EA Sports FIFA 15.
Oh, thank
an
you,
interview
Lord.
With deluded Spurs fan, Man vs. Food's Adam Richmond.
Fat
and
Zabby.
I, Rog, I've got a big announcement.
Oh.
A big announcement for later on.
Are we pregnant?
In the podcast. I've got a big announcement, Rog. Okay, to the football. Let's open the Guinness. Give it a tap. Here we go. Oh. In it goes. Just the colour.
You don't know how many people have berated us for not aerating these after opening them for 5 minutes, which apparently is the appropriate way.
It meant to let them breathe.
Can't help but guzzle.
That's the problem, is I love beer so much. Cheers, mate.
To television and tweed.
Yeah, television and tweed. Amazing. Well, so many big games to choose from, Rog, but we're going to go to the early game on Saturday morning. First of all, the game buried on CNBC, Leicester City 5, Manchester United 3. The world has gone mad. Just 1 week after thumping Queen's Park Rangers 4-0, unrest seeps back into Louis van Gaal's empire. United capitulate a two-goal lead and concede four straight to the Foxes at the King Power Stadium. Newly promoted Leicester are now in seventh place, Rod. United are off to their worst start in the history of the Premier League.
That means in the history of history, David.
It is, yeah.
Oh, David, it doesn't seem so long ago that United were in their, quote, Van Gaal smiling again phase in the wake of their 4-0 dismantling of QPR.
Yeah.
How did this happen? $250 million of attacking talent, tinkering in the lineup. Juan Mata, you shouldn't have smiled last week. You're out the lineup. Falcao, you're in, slipping alongside RVP, Rooney, Herrera, Di Maria, tucking inside them.
Yeah.
This is the King Power, Davo. This is Leicester.
Leicester.
It was like a classic Tom and Jerry cartoon. The whole thing, that's all I kept thinking, is like watching. There's a Tom and Jerry cartoon called The Million Dollar Cat. I think it was one of the classics. It was exactly the same. It was like the cat with all of the ability, all of the strength, all of the size, all of the power against the tiny, weeny little mouse. It should have been a mismatch. But instead, it's the mouse picking up the frying pan and just smashing the cat on the end of the head. This little flattened thing that can hardly walk away, wobble away from the King Power, Davey.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of it, Rog. But I think it's too simple an assessment just to say, you know what, Man United, all it is that they didn't buy defenders. They spent their hundreds of million on buying midfielders and attacking players, and what they really needed to do was spend it on defenders. If you look at the goals they conceded, these were not just individual errors by individual defenders. It's the mystique has disappeared. Leicester, 5 shots on goal, 5 goals.
Oh,
Manchester United, a team that rarely concede penalties because no ref has the temerity to blow a whistle on Manchester United. They've conceded more penalties than any other team in the Premier League, Rod. It's falling apart everywhere. Growth and decline in football is exponential. It spreads like a cancer from teammate to teammate to teammate. There is something very rotten in this squad right now. Well, and it's not just the defenders.
I agree. I mean, the buying, I don't think it was so much let's buy attackers, not let's not buy defenders. I think really at the heart of United's problem, they just tried to buy incredibly good-looking players. Incredibly... They didn't really.
Oh, and Di Maria.
You blint. Yeah, you're very. Oh, Mr. Darcy, come here.
Yeah.
What position do you play, mate? All right. Falcao, oh, you're gorgeous.
Oh, you look, lovely hair.
You look like Aragorn from Lord of the Rings.
He does.
If by my life or death I can protect you, I will. You have my sword, he said as he swung across that exquisite ball, which RVP, even RVP couldn't miss, Dave.
Yeah.
God, how badly he needed a goal.
Yeah.
He'd one goal in 8 for him after he'd scored 8 in 10. But what's fascinating, David, is not so much that they lost this game, but that they defied narrative in losing this game. There were several points of the game where you looked at it. I mean, Di Maria running through, a hand came from heaven, David, and pushed his head down as he entered the area.
There's so much head movement.
I think an angel of the Lord pushed his head down so that his leg would do that little involuntary scoop that made the ball kind of just cut upwards. That, by the way, was less a goal. That was more, to me, exquisite product placement for the FIFA 15 game, which comes out this weekend.
It's very true. Do you know what that goal reminded me of? I've been struggling all weekend to think what it was, and I finally got it when you were describing it. Do you remember in Subutio Rugby, the kicker in Subutio Rugby, and you used to have to hit
push the head,
and it would kick the ball, and it would sort of dip it just like that. It was a Subutio Rugby kicker goal.
Yeah, but then it's 2-0.
Yeah.
60 minutes, United, and as a neutral observer of the game...
It's all over.
I was so disappointed. Plucky Leicester rushing around, charging around. Mm-hmm. Could they hold their own with lesser armaments against the attacking hordes? 2-0, 16 minutes. Everyone's smiling. Good-looking players high-fiving and cuddling. To me, I'll loosen my shirt a little bit and think about maybe making some eggs at halftime instead of kind of trying to grapple with a narrative. But straight from the kickoff, David...
Yeah.
Leicester showed their determination, their courage. They take on United. They take on narrative, Dave. Your favourite player.
Oh, a shower, Rog. A player who likes to score goals within a minute or two of the opposing team scoring against him. And that header, it's from further than I think it's possible to head a ball.
I can't kick the ball that far, Dave. I couldn't kick the ball that far.
Yeah.
Well, he's a fascinating player. He scored 5 times this season.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, 3 of them have come within 2 minutes. Of the opposition scoring. He's like an old-timey gentleman pugilist.
Yeah.
He's got to be punched in the face before he starts swinging.
Yeah.
And how he fights. Because he's not just scored goals, Dave.
Uh-huh.
He's scored massive goals.
Yeah.
Everton, Arsenal, and now Manchester United at absolutely key times. But again, 2-1 became 3-1. Exquisite flip from Anders Herrera.
Yeah.
Redirecting the Di Maria shot. They cut to Louis van Gaal. What does he do on the bench?
Oh, I'm Dutch. It's over. I'm Dutch.
He roars... What could go wrong now? As Danny Baker, the great English television and radio gent, would say, what could go wrong now? The worst thing you can ever say at a game of football. In 853 Premier League matches, Dave, United had not surrendered a 2-goal lead and lost.
Yeah.
They went on and did it twice in this game. This is my theory about United, Dave. They can attack. They can't defend. It's well known. But like sharks and emus and kangaroos, they can go forward at a pace, but they are unable to go backwards. Kangaroos, large hopping mammals from Australia, they can go 25 kilometres an hour in the forward direction. But though they can, they just can't walk backwards. That hopping movement, which I technically call saltation, during saltation, they push off with both large feet and they use the tails for balance. And their muscular legs allow them to really propel themselves forward. Falcao, kind of Herrera, Danny Blint, RVP, kind of Wayne Rooney style. But that big tail and those muscular legs, it means they can't go backwards. That is United's problem, saltation.
Wow, cue kangaroony joke here.
Yeah, And who understood saltation better than anyone?
I know.
Jamie Vardy.
Yeah. Well, fantastic, fantastic moment. That final goal, the celebration, the knee slide, everything about it. A player playing non-league football.
4 years ago.
I know.
He was playing for Stocksbridge Park Steels. All I know about them is that they make steel. I think they were in the 8th tier of English football. Yeah. I've actually played in higher tiers of football than Jamie Vardy.
Dave Fishwick doesn't even advertise minibus rentals there.
It's below him. Yeah. He set up the first goal, won 2 penalties, he scored the 4th. He's further evidence of my minute ball theory of sport. Yeah. Minute ball, obviously, in Sudan, he's just a shepherd. He's never heard, never heard of basketball. We've talked about this, Dave-o.
Yeah.
And I believe, I'm not sure what it is, and if you listeners do know, email us, send us a raven. There's a sport that my body, and my tiny little legs, and my mind, my slightly deluded mind, are perfectly attuned for, but I just don't know it exists. I think Jamie Vardy is very similar to Manute Bol. I could be very good at kabaddi. I found a sport today called buzkashi. When I'm bored, I look up sports and try and find out if I could be good at them. Buzkashi is Central Asian polo played with the carcass of a cow or goat.
I mean, that sounds fun.
We don't play enough buzkashi anymore, Dave. So what happened to United, though, Dave?
Well, I think it's a collective thing. They looked good going up 3-1. But then, it's almost inconceivable. A Manchester United team conceding 4 goals in a row at Leicester, as well as they played, as accurately as they shot, 5 shots on goal, 5 goals. There's just sort of no explanation for it.
That's like Luke Skywalker hitting the Death Star.
Yeah.
5 shots out of 5.
Yeah, 5 in a row.
Isn't
you wouldn't even write
that. All I can think about is credit Nigel Pearson of Leicester for identifying the weak spots in that United diamond formation.
Yeah.
The pace, kind of once you get behind the midfield.
Well, and they sat on Daley Blind. They didn't give him any time.
And watching it, I got a sense, Dave-o, and this might be slightly hyperbolic.
Yeah.
Of what it felt like in biblical times to be an Israelite infantryman.
Yeah.
Watching little David stumble forward.
Yeah.
Goliath come towards him.
Yeah.
Swing that little, what's it called? A sling.
Yeah, sling.
And just nail him, David. It was, to me, that is the kind of biggest shock of all. It left United fans fuming at the referee. I know they have a shout, Richie DeLate, who looks to me as if he's a second cousin of Spud from Trainspotting. Yes, he was lucky not to be sent off. And yes, Vardy on Raphael and the build-up to the goal. But I feel that's a secondary kind of complaint. The Leicester City performance was so exquisite, so perfect. It was. It was like Ewoks at the Battle of Endor, Dave. It was Rocky Apollo Creed. It was Seabiscuit against War Admiral. It was Dirty Dozen on Judgment Day.
And on the Man United side, Rog, to me, it looks like so much of sport is about desire to ultimately eke out a victory, to eke out a result. And we talk about it a lot in the Premier League, a 38-game season, a campaign, Rog. You just got to show desire again and again and again to win games. They seem to lose their desire. After Cambiasso's equaliser, Rog, at 3-3, Wazza went insane on his team. And it was about effort. It was about trying. It was about desire. It was about team defending.
Yeah, for a move, by the way, which I think he was a gentleman whose wayward header possibly started the Leicester City move. But to me, this was a Manchester United performance that even the Brazilian national team could laugh at. And the question I've got for you is, does it impact Louis van Gaal? At what point does it? All of this new talent, he started worse than David Moyes.
Yeah.
Phil Neville in the newspaper today. United need 140 million more spent over the next 2 windows for them to compete.
I mean, what, at Leicester? You need to spend that much more money to compete at Leicester? Leicester aren't spending that much money to compete against Manchester United. It's crazy. It's crazy, Rog.
I mean, to me, so far, United, all they've done is just prove to Tampa Bay Buccaneers fans that, yes, things could get much, much, much worse. United have played Swansea, Sunderland, Burnley, QPR and Leicester. They've gotten 5 points from that. Everton, Chelsea and Manchester City await. The juxtaposition to me between United on the field and United in United's marketing imagination, it's like something from an Arthur Miller play. At Luke Bank said, I'm seriously considering trading in my car and buying a Chevy just to keep these hilarious United commercials coming. #MoyesIn. Man of the match, Dave.
Yeah.
Arlo White.
Yeah, fantastic performance, Rog. But not, he didn't commentate on the game, but he then had to commentate later, and he wasn't running around with his shirt off screaming.
Minutes after the game, he was live on television, yeah. Even though probably 20 minutes earlier, he'd ripped both sleeves off his shirt, strapped his tie to his head, poured Guinness down the front of his shirt, and he then commentated for 90 minutes when he was no doubt, in my imagination, absolutely drunk. Yeah. Unhappiness.
Without doubt. Rog, the other massive game of the weekend, Manchester City 1, Chelsea 1. Chelsea's all-time leading goal scorer, Frank Lampard, Rog, as you call him, the English muffin, is exhumed, comes back to haunt his old club, my beloved Chelsea. Lamps came off the bench for 10-man City after Zabaleta was sent off, Rog, promptly scored an 85th-minute equaliser. Despite dropping their first points of the season, Chelsea remain 3 clear at the top, 4 clear of Arsenal, 5 clear of Manchester City, Rog.
Bit of an odd game, this, especially if you didn't have a rooting interest, in which case this was a little bit like, I imagine it would have been to see Orlando Bloom and Justin Bieber have a fist fight this summer in Ibiza. It was very much kind of
You're assuming I didn't have a rooting interest in that, Rog.
Who did you choose in that?
Oh, Orlando Bloom.
You did. Oh, if you were around, Bieber. Go fight.
I would have piled into Justin Bieber. It was despicable what he did because it was also so anti-female. That's what I hated about it. Anyway, carry on.
It's like watching Crystal and Joan Collins have a fight. Yeah. I always found that very hard to work out who I supported on that one. Who did you support on that one?
I usually take Joan Collins.
You think?
Yeah.
She's got form.
Yeah.
Odd game, Davo. Mm-hmm. City started potently. They looked like they'd spent like all the locker room time before the game just singing fight songs, and they charged out,
yeah,
propelled Chelsea backwards. Chelsea just doing what Chelsea do, the block after block after block. And what was amazing, credit Chelsea.
Yeah.
However much pressure City had, they couldn't be broken. They didn't shoot much. I don't think they had a shot for the first 30 minutes. Touré, Dzeko, Milner, combined with both fullbacks reveling down the flanks. Very odd the way they set up, David. Because old Chelsea, this would have been how I imagined, even last season when Mourinho did not have confidence in his team. This is how I imagine they would set up to play City and grab that point, which they ultimately did.
Yeah.
But this Chelsea, David, this Chelsea with Matic, that shield, with Fabregas-ing,
yeah,
with Diego Costa, just generally terrifying everyone like a kind of Chris Humphreys lookalike in 30 years' time physically if things don't go so well. Why would you set up in such a, okay, we're going to absorb, especially against this City who are not yet confident?
Well, I don't think that City is a great matchup for Chelsea, actually. Chelsea's greatest weakness, and it's an incredibly strong squad, Rog, and they've got backup in every position. But if you want to identify weakness with Chelsea, it's on their flanks defensively, at their fullbacks. And I think Ivanovic and Dave, Azpilicueta, struggle to get forward, getting pinned back by just the dramatic width of Manchester City. He played two central midfielders, put Ramirez in there next to Matic. And this is kind of what Mourinho did to great success last season when he went and played on the road against the better teams. He did it last season against Liverpool, famously. Just absorbs pressure, sucks it up, and then goes for a win on the counter-attack later in the game.
It was very throwback to last season. Yeah. True heavyweight battle. I should say I was impressed with debutant Eloquin Mangala. Good pairing for company, pace.
He's the man of the match, Rog.
Comfort on the ball. Blow to blow, yellow card for yellow card.
Yeah.
Wonka bar style yellow card refereeing, just chucking them around the referee.
Yeah.
The only moment of true harmony in the game for me
came
when Chelsea fans and City fans united in brotherhood
to
sing a mocking chant about Stevie Gerrard. It's nice how he truly brings unity. But then David,
the West Ham fans also sung that song this weekend. It was sung up and down England this weekend.
In a moment I now realise retrospectively was truly foreshadowing.
Yeah.
The cameras kept creeping back to the bench, almost in beautiful slow motion.
Yeah.
To capture Frank Lampard sitting there miserably by Sami Nasri. And all I could think about is, what was Davo thinking? Did you shout at the television, "I know it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart.
I mean, look, you have teased me endlessly about how I feel about this man. Frank is something I just have a different relationship with him as a player. I mean, Zola, one of my favourite football players of all time. With Frank, it's something different. And then when we met him, Rog, and interviewed him, and what a lovely a truly lovely man.
It's like being there when Jonathan and Jennifer Hart got together, the two of you.
Yeah,
I felt like I was intruding on a very special. I think it was special for him too.
But you also liked him, and I don't think you were prepared to like him as much as you ended up liking him. I'm a New York City FC season ticket holder. Roger got my seats in section 28 last week.
That's downwind, so you get his aftershave full on.
Pretty much.
Both nostrils.
So I only want good things to happen to Frank Lampard, and we'll get to what happened later in the game. But yes, I feel a little numb looking at him in the City shirt, but it was overall, I only want good things to happen to him. Anyway, Zabaleta sent off for that second
massive
yellow.
Massive turning point.
Oh, huge. In the 66th minute. We got to see Man City fan, Rog, Zabaleta lookalike turning around, showing his solidarity, pointing at his Zabaleta shirt, his Zabaleta name on his back.
You love that moment, didn't you?
I'm so Manchester.
You shouted at the television at that point. You said, yes. So if you didn't see the game,
yeah.
Zabaleta was sent off, quite rightly, for a pretty inarguable second yellow card. And not his finest moment, I think, Zabaleta.
Yeah.
And then they cut to the crowd where there was a large gentleman in a Zabaleta shirt who looked like Zabaleta if he'd been locked in a pie factory.
Yeah.
And he gesticulated, did his muscles, turn around, pointed joyously. His manager's been sent up, pointed joyously to his Zabaleta, and Devo shouted out, yes, you and Zabaleta have so much
in common.
It was a turning point. What I admire about Mourinho teams, Devo, Real Madrid did this in the Champions League against Manchester United. They pounce immediately.
Yeah.
Often when someone gets sent off, there's a question mark, will they take advantage? Mourinho teams, they take advantage.
Yeah, but they might have pounced too quickly,
Rog.
They
might
have pounced too quickly.
Six players involved in the move. Diego Costa, that exquisite skip on the edge of the box. Hazard, who started the move, curling a cross, Davo, which as soon as it left Eden Hazard's
foot.
You
said it. As soon as it left his foot, you said goal, before Shirley had even touched it.
Oh, but Shirley, I realised when he scored and he kind of curled around the post in celebration, he looked just like the guitar player for my heart to me. He's never looked like... Well, Heart, many of you will not know who they are. They sang Take On Me, which I think everybody knows.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid, that guitarist, Shirley's lookalike, he was interviewed in Smash Hits, the English pop magazine, and they asked him a question. They said to him, do you think you're good looking? It was one of those, like, what's your favorite food? What's your favorite blah, blah, blah? Do you think you're good looking? And his answer has completely confused me. I spent many hours as a young person thinking about it. He said, do you think you're good looking? He said, no, but I think I can fake it.
Yeah.
can you just explain that to me? You either are good looking or you're not good looking. Oh, I guess you could do some power posing.
Yeah, you do some power posing to do it. I don't completely understand it, but in the 80s, almost everything made sense. So 71st minute, Shirley scores the goal. They look in control.
Cut to Louis van Gaal on the sidelines.
No.
Game over!
Different
game. What could go wrong now?
But slightly worrying for Chelsea, for the second game in a row, this happened to them in the Champions League also, Rog, in midweek. They just sort of let their opponents back into the game, and they let 10-man opponents back into the game. Masterstroke. From Pellegrini, you've got to give him credit. Just even had nothing happened, just for the introduction of doubt and superior narrative, that instinct for a story was superb.
Slapping Frank on the bum, trolloped onto that pitch. I mean, he looked absolutely enormous. He looked like a man at war against himself.
He's a professional.
He looked in complete panic the moment he came onto the field.
He
reminded me of Brutus in Julius Caesar, the man who was at war with himself, torn between his love for Caesar and his honourable concern for Rome.
Yeah.
At Sayang07 tweeted us immediately. She said, I now know how Tyrion felt when he saw Shay in his father's bed, # Lampard. The reaction was fascinating, David, from a human perspective. The Chelsea fans stood up, applauded, and gave him just such an emotional round of applause. They sang to City fans, he's won more than you. He's won more than you. Frankie Lampard, he's won more than you. Were they, and I'm going to say this and then duck, were they being a bit maybe patronising, you know, we're 1-0 up here,
you've
got 10 men, you can't hurt us.
No, you said, look, there might have been some arrogance involved, but actually what I think is patronising is the number of fans of this game who've been utterly, utterly rude and dismissive of Frank Lampard's abilities as a professional, who now all of a sudden are willing, because he doesn't play for Chelsea, to say, oh, what a professional, what a model, what a player, what a person. He's been this kind of professional, this kind of player, this kind of Premier League performer for his entire career. And, you know, Chelsea fans love him for it. It's not a fake love. It's not based on hype. It's not based on fashion. It's based on the fact that this guy basically comes on and does his job again and again, remains fit. He always makes an effort. He always finds a way to contribute.
Smells lovely.
Oh, smells lovely. You just got to admire the man. You got to admire him.
Watching him score that very Frankie Lampard goal, to me...
Coming late into the box.
It was like Derek Jeter hitting a grand slam for the Red Sox in a cameo appearance for them for a season after to leaving the Yankees. I was trying to think what it would kind of translate to in American terms.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know quite what it is. But, I mean, the first thing I really thought, other than just like, oh, wow, Frank Lampard has just scored for Manchester City against Chelsea, which was weird, is I actually thought how good this is going to be for New York City FC and how good this is going to be for MLS, that this is a guy still capable of performing at this level who's coming to this city to go and play in this league. So I think it's great for America.
Matt Cox tweeted us to say, I'd like to thank MLS for making the impossible possible. I celebrated a goal scored by Frank Lampard today. It's exactly like they say it would feel.
See, that's patronising.
He didn't celebrate.
Yeah.
You said it was possibly the first ever.
Well, no, it was actually our producer, JW, said it was the first genuine non-celebration in the history of non-celebrations.
A Premier League history. Dennis Law, 1974, the great United player.
Yeah.
Back healing a goal for City against United. YouTube it. It's an amazing moment.
I know,
moment
the look on his face is phenomenal.
He was truly
mortified. Gareth Bale, the goal against Southampton.
I'm not sure if he wasn't celebrating because he didn't want to offend people, David.
Yeah.
I think he was just exhausted. He'd run from the centre circle all the way to the box.
How dare you?
He looked like Mickey,
he'll never stop.
He looked like Mickey Rourke at the end of The Wrestler. I think he just didn't have the energy to lift his hands over his head. At Tom Eldon, oh, how brilliant would it be if Chelsea brought on a City legend to retake the lead? There are no City legends. Sean Wright Phillips, anybody?
I'll take Bradley Wright Phillips.
Afterwards, Frank Lampard said, the Chelsea fans were singing my name. It was an emotional day. It's not how I expected to say goodbye to the Chelsea fans. He was clearly hoping for a hat trick. Mourinho, fascinating.
Yeah.
When I asked, he said, I don't speak about players from other teams.
No, never.
Love stories are over, was his quote, which made me want to say, David, do you believe in love? We've never talked about this.
Really? I'm sure we... Yeah, of course I believe in love.
I do too. It's very hard work.
Good.
It's very, very
as I take
work.
Another sip of Guinness.
Was it bad for Chelsea to let a lead slip versus 10 men? Or do you say, with perspective, a point at City, I'll take it?
Definitely. Look, the point at City, and I said before the game, we don't really need the points. And we're sitting there 3 points clear, 4 points clear of Arsenal, 5 points clear of City. You would imagine come the end of the season, they're going to be the nearest rivals. And it's a good result in that top six Premier League table that we're going to look at the end of the season, Rog. But I do think there's a worrying sign, because it's not just this one game. Happened midweek in Champions League. Now that this season really gets going, a lot of fixtures between now and the beginning of January, Rog. Despite the huge squad that Jose Mourinho has, he's not rotating his players very much. They're playing a lot of games. We'll have to see what happens in the League Cup as that kicks off this midweek. But he's not rotating very much, and these players are going to get exhausted of competing at that level, that pressure to win game after game after game. It's very hard.
I think a lot of you wanted to know what Davo's face looked like when that Lampard goal went in. I can report with a little sadness, because I wanted more. He responded with a nobility, like an old school captain going down with a ship, is how I'd describe it. Little less noble, Mourinho in the post-match conference consistently calling Pellegrini Pellegrino. And Pellegrino countering by saying Chelsea were like a small team trying to defend. Classic.
Oh, there you go. We'll see what happens at the end of the season with the table. Okay, Rog, the big games just keep on coming. Down in London, West Ham 3, Liverpool 1. Early, early goals from Winston Reid and Diafro Sakho. Rog, quickly put the Hammers 2-0 up. Raheem Sterling grabbed one back with a 26th minute screamer. It was still rising when it hit the back of the net, Rog. But Morgan Amalfitano killed off the game in the 88th minute. and handed lumpen Liverpool their third defeat in five games. Amazing, Rog.
West Ham. Oh, first of all, we should say something about the bubbles at West Ham at Upton Park. One of my favourite
traditions. The song, "We're Forever Blowing Bubbles." They blow bubbles. At the end of the game, the noise as the players were celebrating on the pitch, the volume of that song, the bubbles everywhere. It was beautiful.
It's beautiful, but if you're actually at Upton Park and they often show the crowd, these are some of the most frightening human beings to enter a sports stadium. So the juxtaposition between a children's song and the bubbles, which you think of as innocence, and the faces and the hands they're connected to and the things those hands have done, I always find absolutely, truly, it's very Guy Ritchie, is all I'll say. Fascinating game, Dave. We think of Liverpool last season as a team that sought to decapitate their opponents in the first kind of couple of minutes, Tyson-esque, going for the knockout punch in the first 10. But this time it was aggressive, it was simmering, it was West Ham from the kickoff. I mean, they went for the jugular. It was like Sam Allardyce knew that this was a team who just played in the Champions League midweek and he was going to go for them immediately. Mark Noble thundered in tackles. Steven Gerrard was shrugged off the ball. And Liverpool just seemed oddly asunder. They were on the back foot. And their Achilles heel last week was set pieces. The big question was, would they correct things this weekend? It took all of 1 minute 15 to find that out.
Yeah. Winston Reid, the pride of New Zealand.
North Shore, Auckland. Yeah. And we know that because we've started doing some...
Yeah, we're doing a special Men in Blazers show just for New Zealand, Rog.
Well, it's also
for... highlights of the
where
week.
Else is it? It's for the Philippines.
Taiwan.
That's JW. We love New Zealand. Yeah. We absolutely do. We love them from the days of the cricket, Lance Cairns. We love them from Once Were Warriors, which is one of my favourite movies.
And it's especially good for us because we sometimes struggle to think of what to put in our New Zealand show. So the fact when Winston Reid scores, that's one whole item.
Well, we talk about Winston Reid a lot. We talk about Chris Woods of Leicester, who hardly ever gets a game a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
But this was a gift for us. He got a Skirtle hat-trick. He got a goal, booking, and a thunderous tackle on Balotelli.
Oh, for the second goal that made the second goal.
It was tackle-tastic.
Yeah.
By the way, can we just say, and we'd be saying this whether we were working for New Zealand television or not, Winston Reid is now 6 goals behind New Zealand's top Premier League scorer of all time, Ryan Nelson, who has 9.
Wow, that's amazing.
He's just six off. He's just six off 9, David.
Good research. But it's tough. I mean, look, I mean, there's two ways of looking at this game. One is West Ham have got players the like of which we've not seen at West Ham for a very, very long time. Players who can knock it in from outside the area. I mean, you look at a player...
Diafro Sacco.
Oh, Sacco, Valencia.
He's got a great pitching wedge.
Yeah.
Diafro Sacco. Moreno held off him, and then he chipped it in. Did he mean it, David?
I think he did. Yeah, that looked like he meant it.
I think, you know, the rule of thumb on these things is if the player's English, he didn't mean it. If the player's not, he probably did. Sacco's Senegalese. But what does it matter? I mean, did Tom Watson mean his chip in at the 1982 US Open at Pebble Beach? Yes and no.
Yeah.
Enna Valencia was in the vicinity. Why not pop it into a dangerous area?
Yeah.
And then it goes 2-0 to West Ham.
Yeah.
At CJRNYC says, oh Lord, West Ham, they've scored too early and they have a 2-goal lead, which is the hardest to defend in football. Mm-hmm. Do 2 wrongs, make a right. That was 7 minutes in, Dave. At Mark Ellie Wismed said, I hope the first 7 minutes of this Liverpool match inspire at real John Green to write another beautifully depressing novel so something good will come out of it. But Liverpool, they look like a deflated balloon.
Yeah, something very odd. I mean, Sterling scored that great.
That was another of your moments of the weekend.
The poetry of Arlo White.
The trajectory of the ball is a thing of beauty.
The trajectory of the ball is a thing of beauty.
When I hear him say those things, I think of Salman Rushdie.
Yeah.
A poet's work is to name the unnameable, to point at frauds, to take side and start arguments. Oh,
that's Arlo White.
Honestly, that goal, by the way.
Yeah.
It looked like the Fox technology they used to have for the hockey. It looked like Fox tracks. It
looked like there was flames coming out of the back of it as it hit the net.
But Liverpool, I mean, that was a great moment.
Yeah.
But you had Lucas and Gerrard overrunning midfield. But I think Mark Noble, constantly underrated. Yeah, Alex Song, welcome back. Lovren and Sacco took each other out at the back.
Yeah.
No Sturridge. Balotelli lost inside his own head. Troublemakers wanted.
And then the final goal, Rog, Downing's. Fantastic. I mean, Stuart Downing, this is an Englishman, Rog. An Englishman who failed at Liverpool makes that amazing pass run and pass for Amalfitano.
To top poke dagger to the heart in the dying moments. But up to there, Davo, you'd seen Brendan Rodgers making tactical tweaks with his bigs and smalls. Come on, Lambert. Sam Allardyce countering with his bigs. Collins. There's few things I like more this season than seeing a happy Sam Allardyce. Watching him swear happily, chew his gum aggressively, happily in the technical area. He's the closest thing England's produced to a dry Herrera. And I have to say, tribute to this West Ham side. You mentioned Enner Valencia, Sacco. They've got pace, they've got audacity. Normally we think of Sam Allardyce's grittiness. Some would say agricultural.
Yeah.
This West Ham team, they can hurt you on the break and they can take a punch.
Yeah.
I mean, they've remade themselves.
Attractive team.
Valencia, I adore him. I read an interview of him in an Ecuadorian newspaper where his dad said, Enner has always been so passionate, he would always do his chores and then skip dinner just to play football. And then they asked him, what chores did Enner have to do? And he said, oh, just the usual, milking the cows, packing and loading local products and clearing water from our canoe.
It's not Canoe the footballer. That's a real canoe.
We had it easy, David.
Yeah, we had it easy.
So the side that came second last season, Liverpool now lost three of their last four. We saw at Spurs, David, what happens when they gel.
Yeah.
They want Sturridge back for the derby, which is upcoming, which we'll talk about. They are going to be hungry. But it's already, David, top four. Is it A, a stretch? Is it B, a pipe dream? Or is it C, nothing to panic about just yet?
It's way too early and there's still nothing to panic about. Here's what's worrying to me is increasingly the utterances, the quotes of Brendan Rodgers make absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. Talking about the weight of the shirt.
Yes.
It's not the weight of the shirt.
It's the colour of the design.
It's the colour of the shirt.
It is. The weight of the jersey was what he said. He blamed the poor form. It's the colour and design. That yellow jersey, it looks like the Swedish Navy have come on shore leave.
Yeah.
He refused to put the loss down to the readaption to the Champions League midweek rhythm.
Yeah.
Which sounded about as truthful as when Sepp Blatter tweeted this week from @SeppBlatter, everyone in the global football community has a responsibility to act ethically. Football fans rightly demand this. FIFA has taken the lead.
Yes.
I'm more confused by Brendan Rodgers' continuing dental choices.
Yeah.
We had a consultancy last week with a dental...
Oh, the official cosmetic dentist and star consultant of the pod, Dr. Laura Ruoff, Rog.
She specialises in essentially plastic surgery for teeth.
Yeah, I mean, she said, that, I mean, these are definitely
I said to her,
dentures.
What kind of patient comes in and gets that thing done? She said, what gets full-on dentures? I was like, how do you know the dentures? She said, all of Brendan Rodgers' teeth are exactly the same size, no matter where they are in his mouth. And I thought, that's the least British thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
We're very organic when it comes to teeth. We like our teeth.
Industrial, agricultural.
We like our teeth just to rot away, David.
Yeah, until they're just nubs. But yeah, that's what's worrying me. I think he's got this Liverpool thing, legend, history, tradition thing so far up his own head that he's not... He seems to be rotating this squad more than he has to. I do think there's something wrong with Steven Gerrard. There is just something not completely... Right there, I still think he's a great player. I still think he's capable of great moments. But he's just not defending with the level
Steven
of
Gerrard,
heart.
I see a darkness, Steve-O. I see a darkness.
Yeah, it's not quite the same thing. Okay, Rog, another fantastic game of football. Aston Villa 0, Arsenal 3. Villa would lose their first game of the season after an Arsenal explosure, netting three times in the span of just 192 seconds. Mesut Ozil and Danny Welbeck each tallied before Villa defender Ali Sissoko turned a Kieran Gibbs effort into his own net. Arsenal had more than 70% of the possession in this game, Rog, and kept their first clean sheet of the season.
High-stakes game for Arsenal after the dismantling against Dortmund in midweek. I mean, a funny, funny season.
Yeah.
Self-inflicted wound of a transfer policy. Every time they play, everyone screams, we can all see what you need. And then that was worsened by injuries, which led them to have a bench in this game that consisted of one goalkeeper, five midfielders, and just one
not
striker.
Not a single defender on the bench.
Alexis Sanchez and Jack Wilshere actually on the bench. There's huge pressure. Arsene Wenger had snapped this week. You have plenty of tacticians in the world who have managed zero games. Nice news for Arsenal fans. Villa were weakened by some derivative form of a viral bubonic plague that's still passing itself around the streets of Birmingham in the wake of the Middle Ages. It's not quite cleared up yet.
Yeah, Paul Westwood.
Obviously, for Villa, the only great part of the whole happening, other than that they could have gone ahead very early when Kieran Clarke's set-piece header was wonderfully saved by Szczesny, was the beards of their bosses, David.
Oh, yeah, two dueling beards. From Paul Lambert, Rog, and Roy Keane.
Roy Keane's facial groove, to me, is undoubtedly, inarguably, the best beard I've seen since Oprah and Steadman. But Arsenal passed the ball, Villa pressed like manic labradoodles, and then they just turned it up a gear, David. This team of question marks all over the field. Welbeck, question mark. Ozil, question mark. Ultimately, yeah. Wilshire, Chambers, Ramsey, suddenly a question mark. Shots that were flying last season are now being forced wide. But three exquisitely clinical manoeuvres, David. Last week we said...
Oh, within 3 minutes.
...that when they were playing wonderfully, they looked like they're going to concede. Here they kind of struggled to impose themselves.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the narrative flip for Arsenal. When they look bad, they're going to do good. When they look good, they're going to do bad. Because 192 seconds, David, three goals. I've spent this morning trying to think of a single thing in life that I can do twice in 192 seconds.
It's very tough. It's difficult, Rog. And Aston Villa looked very good for the first 33 minutes of this game until Ozil scored. I'm impressed with Arsenal. I still think, and I know you you laugh at me about this, I still think that they are major title contenders. I think when they're on and as they gel, they're very, very capable. I think Welbeck getting off the mark, very, very important for them this weekend.
A terrific
Ozil
goal.
Having a
Ramsey,
good game.
Ozil, Welbeck pinging that ball in a giant triangle. I mean, Villa suddenly punched Duncan staggering. Welbeck, big game for Mesut Ozil, big game for. Two wins, three draws for Wenger. Is this, Devo, the Invincibles part deux?
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. Or a different kind of invincible.
I want to thank at JM Sonia, who sent us an article from The Guardian.
Yeah.
In the light of Arsenal's jersey, which we've been questioning.
Yeah.
It was about Fashion Week in London this week. And the headline was, "Nipples were much more than just a trend at London Fashion Week. From Christopher Kane to Tom Ford to Erdem, nipples were the left field happening at our London Fashion Week." Arsenal, we take it back. You're on fashion
point. Yeah, they're on point. I love it. Too good. Okay, Rog, I'm sorry to do this to you. Everton 2, Crystal Palace 3.
Damn you, Rebecca Lowe.
Managed to not get a single mention in our TV show last week. Your ability to sort of brush Everton games under the carpet
willful.
Is amazing.
I am absolutely bereft and so numb, but carry on.
Romelu Lukaku scored way too early, Rog, as Neil Warnock's team shocked Everton, with Tim Howard having a hand in two of the three goals that made a late penalty from Leighton Baines inconsequential. Panic stations for Roberto Martinez, Rog?
Second year on the run.
Yeah.
Palace have come into a buoyant, expecting Goodison Park and then just smashed and grabbed. Honestly, right now, Dave, I feel like I've been smacked across the face with a fresh piece of Atlantic cod. Let me take you back. Ka-chow.
Ka-chow. For ka-chow.
To Goodison Park against Wolfsburg.
Yeah.
In that turd of a cup that's called the Europa Cup League thing. God, what a turd of a competition you are.
Best way into Europe.
Goodison Park was rocking.
Yeah.
Wolfsburg were absolutely decimated. And Tim Howard was fantastic.
Yeah.
In that game. Lukaku scores too early inside 9 minutes.
Oh,
Crystal Palace had barely threatened. Then Tim Howard just turned generous host. I mean, MacArthur was brought down. It was the first foray. He didn't just bring him down. He kind of knelt on the floor in front of him, like you used to when you were a kid, kneel behind someone and get someone else to push him over. Second was worse. Tim Howard, Fraser Campbell is 5'8". Somehow he outjumped Tim Howard, who can use his hands to catch the ball, Davo. It was really a goal that only Brad Guzan could love. And we've now conceded two goals in four consecutive Premier League games. We're crap. And there's a problem for Tim Howard. It's a perception problem because he's commentating for NBC. He's appearing in ads, very soulfully beautiful ads for Marriott. And he deserves to savor every endorsement. But when things go wrong, and for many Evertonians, things are going awfully wrong. Many Evertonians think Tim Howard has used up every save he's going to have this season in one game against Belgium in the World Cup. He's exposing himself to critics in the same way as Joe Hart does with his dandruff endorsements. People will immediately say with a goalkeeper, you need to think about strikers, not endorsements. And he, and also Martinez, this week they were talking about maybe he'll be at Real Madrid or Barcelona. He'll be at Real Salt Lake, David, if we keep playing at the back in the most haphazard fashion. And we're not going to get to the next level with this Europa League, which Martinez has said is our cup. And yet when we played Wolfsburg, Everton seemed so joyous. The players loved the whole experience. And the question I have is it worth it, David? Is it really going to be worth it?
Well, you've said it for a long time. You're right, Everton. Only Chelsea have scored more goals in the Premier League this season than Everton, but they've conceded 13 goals, Rog, in five games, more goals than anybody else has conceded in the Premier League.
And the derby awaits this week. I am so numb, Davo, truth be told, to Everton right now. I'll say about the derby, and we'll chat about it briefly later. In the face will not hurt me.
Yeah.
I say that.
Where
I don't
do you
mean
want it?
In the face will not hurt me.
Yeah. Where do you want it, Rog? If not, in the
send a raven.
Send a raven. Where does Rod want it? Send ravens to the crap part of Soho. Okay, quickly, Rod. Tottenham. I watched this game, really enjoyed it. 0. West Brom 1. A 74th minute header from James Morrison. The only person more surprised than James Morrison was his manager, Alan Irvine.
You've got a theory about the direwolf.
Well, yes.
Eric Dyer.
I think that they're not passing to Eric Dyer. In the second half, just repeatedly, Lamela would refuse to pass it to Eric Dyer, who is open. There's something not right about that Tottenham squad. New stars, Lamela trying to prove himself. I don't know.
Lamela's a great friend of the pod. He listens to this.
Yeah.
Pass it to the Direwolf.
Yeah, pass it to the Direwolf. You need to give it to the Direwolf. Newcastle 2, Hull 2, Rog, bleak scenes at St James's Park. Fans call for manager Alan Pardew's sacking. Despite the misery, Newcastle storm back from a 2-0 hole to earn a point. Great comeback, actually. Super sub. Papi Cisse scored twice.
I'll say the sackpardew.com.
Yeah.
Alan Pardew, the manager, is a nasty knob by all accounts. But there does seem to be that he's a scapegoat for a grand club that is just so poorly run, David. Yeah. I spent time this week reading up on the history of Newcastle because I love that city. It's a jewel of the north. Do you know that in the 17th century, urine was one of Newcastle's third biggest exports after coal and beer. It was used for ballast for ships, stripping agent that could turn wool into wearable clothes, urine, and tanneries to remove hair and guts from animal hides.
But why their particular urine?
It's a lot of it.
That's a lot of
they
it.
They made it rain, Dave. They made it rain. What do they say about making, when you've got lemons, make lemonade?
Yeah, it's very good.
So I love Newcastle.
Yeah.
I also love Jelovic, the old Everton striker.
Yeah.
And he scored the kind of goal we didn't see too much of when he was at Everton.
Yeah, it was a moment of wow.
It was a joyous feat. It was like that moment in Happy Feet when Mumble first learns he can tap dance.
Yeah.
Newcastle credit them for fighting back into the game, but who knows? I have to say, the funny thing about the Sack Pardew campaign is that all the photos of him on the campaigns, and every time they showed fans waving them, everyone was smiling. The photo of Pardew, he's smiling. He looks like Hugo Weaving in V for Vendetta.
Yeah,
it's like a very eerie.
I just worry, what other manager is going to go to that club with that level of expectation for that owner?
Bob Bradley.
Well, maybe. That would be a great choice. Swansea 0, Southampton 1, Rog. Victor Wanyama, he is a big unit, Rog. He comes off the bench, scores against a 10-man Swansea. Ever so quietly, the Saints, Rog, a team that people wrote off after their summer sort of loss of all of those players, they've moved to second place in the table, Rog.
Yeah, I love them. I love them as much as I love any pacemaker in those 1,500 metres Olympic finals who'd set off crazy pace and then just after two laps be like, all right.
Yeah, you're saying that 5:38 is way too early.
Headed for the mid-table.
Too much. QPR 2, Rog, Stoke 2, an 88th minute free kick from Nico Kranjčar gives Harry Redknapp's men a point at home against Stoke in Mark Hughes' first trip back to Loftus Road since being sacked by the team in 2012.
You know what gave me joy in this game?
What?
Watching Peter Crouch.
Yeah.
I realise we don't have too many times left in us to savour him. And in
we
this
love
game,
nature documentaries, don't we, Rog?
It reminds me, whenever I see him play, it reminds me of watching an Andean flamingo copulating. Do you know, in the Andean culture, they used to kill flamingos because they thought they could cure tuberculosis.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that, Rog.
I just find that really. I just find that a very weird leap in logic.
And finally,
by the way, Rog, I'd love to be. I realised also when I was thinking about this, I'd love to be a flamingo. If you believe in reincarnation, which I don't, I think it'd be an amazing thing to be.
You'd be good at that.
I'd love it.
Burnley 0, Sunderland 0, Rod. Both remain winless on the season after a draw at Turf Moor. A great game for Post and Crossbar after each team had late efforts turned away by the woodwork.
Three consecutive clean sheets for Burnley. Better defensive record than Arsenal, Chelsea and Liverpool. And they're still crap.
FIFA 15, Rog.
Yes, it's
EA
happy
Sports,
FIFA Day, David.
FIFA 15, it came out today. Happy FIFA Day, Rog. We were honoured to be part of the launch on Friday night. Our night of 1,000 stars, Rog. So great to see so many GFOPs flew in from all over the country to be with us. Jason Kennedy, GFOP, brought in a whole clan from Chicago. It was amazing to be together with you. Thank you to our guests once again, Joachim Noah, Gino Smith, Kevin Love,
amazing
Rog.
Bloke.
Yeah.
My favourite moment of that night was when Kevin Love and Joachim Noah saw each other for the first time.
Yeah, and Nick Channon, of course, from EA.
And Noah congratulated Kevin Love.
Yeah.
And then said, you know, we're going to be playing you a lot now. And Kevin Love was kind of like, oh, are we? Yeah. And Noah knew exactly
the date, exactly the games,
exactly
the schedule.
He knew exactly where, he knew exactly what
dialed in.
Every single player has ringed the Cleveland Cavaliers for this season. At Heap a Leap tweeted us to say, if EA calls football games Madden, why isn't FIFA game also called Arlo White 15? An incredibly good question. As is, how does, and many of you have asked this, how is Stephen Naismith just a 75?
Yeah. Impossible.
I'm going to return my game, David.
Yeah.
It's obviously something wrong with it. In all seriousness, FIFA are the invisible hand that have kind of quietly grown this sport.
Yeah.
We watch a lot of football, but so many college kids in between the games are playing as Manchester United, Chelsea, Real Salt Lake in between the games, actually playing FIFA far more than they're watching. Mm-hmm. It's a game where you understand the nuances of football and it drives you to the real thing itself, as opposed to Madden, where you already love the NFL, so you play the game in addition. Yeah. It's a fascinating and complex kind of deal. We celebrate the arrival of the FIFA game more than I do after last week, I'd say, more than I do my own birthday. We're going to do a competition, David.
Yeah, we've got 10 signed games up for grabs, Rog. Who signed them? Did we sign them?
I think our accountant.
Our accountant signed them. And we're going to package that with an MIB patch, Rog. If you can design the cover for FIFA 16, that's the competition.
Look into the future.
Future. We want, is it the hiked up shorts of Alexis Sanchez, the man boobs of Mertesacker?
Neither of those are NFSW.
Or is it Gary Taylor Fletcher's girth on the cover? You decide. Most creative, funniest, most inspirational would win.
NSFW.
Yeah. Okay, Rog, on to our guest. Joined us for the TV show last night. Stayed on afterwards, after school, for the detention of being interviewed by us. Adam Richman, former host of Man vs. Food, current host of Food Fighters on NBC. Rog, he's a massive Spurs fan. Oh, there it is. The crappiest theme tune in the history of sports television.
Still gives me the thickening, David.
It does. We're the Men in Blazers.
This is our After Pies extra special.
It's good. Rog Bennett, Davo, Adam Richman.
Still here.
Yeah, still a Tottenham fan.
Believe it or not.
He is a Tottenham fan.
Yeah.
But I heard
I even have a Tottenham necklace on.
Wow. You can put your tattoos away on this show, Adam. But yeah, I heard you on TalkSport, a fascinating interview, where you kind of said you love Tottenham. We know you've established that. The tears speaketh for themselves.
Yeah.
You also said you've got a little bit of a love for another London team.
I do, a little bit for West Ham, believe it or not.
Yeah, and I loved it. They said to you, how can you support two teams, West Ham and also Tottenham? It doesn't work like that. And you said, do you remember how you explained yourself?
Well, I mean, for me to take part in a regional rivalry in a country I don't live in is absurd. And I think that the game is beautiful. I think that you can't watch a player like, whether it's Carlton Cole, Demba Ba before he went off to Chelsea and Newcastle. And there's a lot of passion, there's a lot of pride, and a lot of people I really respect back the team. And I don't live in London. It's not my rivalry.
I'm Jewish. Point. My family moved from Leeds to London. People say, how can you do Spurs and Irons? Read that one out for me. It's a great quote.
I'm an American and I don't really care.
But I think it's fine to have a second team, Rog. We're both very partial to Leighton Orient. That's another London team for me. ITOs. It's a team from the South for you. I must say, I do quite like Aston Villa. Aston Villa is just a team I feel rather partial.
I like Morecambe towards. I like Morecambe, the mighty Morecambe. Ship of Morecambe. I like MK Dons.
I love Dumbarton.
Really?
Yeah, we used to have a cleaner called Mrs. Barton, and I always developed a soft spot for the Men of Rock. I will say, there's teams in London that you can have as your bit on the side, and there's teams you can't. You've come at a great time. We are ahead of the North London Derby, a game to which you've been in the past.
Yeah. Sadly, yes. Sadly, in the enemy stronghold. I was nervous when I actually saw that the horses even have protective eyewear.
You another great quote. You said, I went to see the North London Derby at the Emirates. And read that one in your America. I love American accents.
And it was like I was having my bar mitzvah in Amman, Jordan. It was not a friendly place.
What was your bar mitzvah like, by the way?
It was a nice semi-understated affair.
What was the theme? Come on, theme.
Theater.
Jazz hands. Diego Costa.
Fantastic.
Exactly.
So good. Soccer Aid.
Yes,
you've actually got to play at Old Trafford. Not many people can say that. You played in that team. Who was your coach?
My coach was the special one himself, Jose Mourinho.
Oh, lucky you.
It was amazing. I will say, as amazing as it is to like watch him coach, to ride the team coach from London to Manchester for those hours and just be able to ask him any question and ask behind-the-scenes stuff, and he would tell you everything. Didn't hold anything back.
Did you ask him the secret of a really good cheese flan?
No, that was like the one thing. Cheese that was souffle. Like tip of my tongue.
I'm Jose, like, how'd you get your souffles to stay up?
No, but it was very interesting else hearing him just say how much like these marquee players sucked and how they were really terrible. He said Iker Casillas was a disaster. I was like, really?
And who were your teammates? Who were you playing with?
Well, basically the entire Dutch World Cup team from 98. So I had Jaap Stam, Clarence Seedorf, Edgar Davids. Then I had Alessandro Del Piero, my strike partner, Andrei Shevchenko.
Wow, not bad.
And obviously Edwin van der Sar, who I have to say, I never thought in a million years the man who would tell me what Jaffa cakes are would be Edwin van der Sar.
Jaffa cakes.
Is it Jaffa?
It's a hard J.
Oh, Jaffa cakes.
If you've never been to England, it's a...
Wait, may I give it to you as Edwin van der Sar?
Well, maybe.
I said to him, oh, that sounds very dirty, but I said to him, I said, what's a Jaffa cake? Well, it's like a little cookie cream. It's like a little cake. It's like the orange and the cookies and the cream. And, you know, Rio Ferdinand used to get the kids shyish with the little three ones, and they'd run off the pitch to the touchline and eat all three and then run back on the pitch while the game was still going.
Wow.
I was like, wow, that was Edwin van der Sar doing. I was like, nice.
That's what it's like being coached by Louis van Gaal.
Tell us, Mourinho, what did he ask of you on the field? Did he ask you to try and just like play a certain role, to make certain runs, to dominate certain players?
He did, actually. I had a couple of assignments he wanted me. He liked the fact that I played a physical game.
Uh-huh.
He goes, look, play on the wall. Ball come over the wall. Hit hard. And Adam, listen, straight. Uh-huh. Just smell the shape of the game. Smell the shape. You can bite in a tackle. So just smell the shape and just push.
I like the fact that his accent's becoming more Russian under his Russian owner, Roman Abramovich. I like that. And how did you play?
For 5 minutes, during which I didn't get a touch. But you know what? The thing is for me, to come from where I was 2 years ago, because soccer aid was really what motivated my weight loss. I was nearly 300 pounds.
And
I knew I had an option to really be in the theater of dreams and to meet legends, to meet, you know, Des Walker, to meet Matt Letizier, Jamie Carragher, Jamie Redknapp. It was just an amazing opportunity, and so 5 minutes with no touch is still 5 minutes on Old Trafford.
Nervous, no doubt, before you went on the field.
Yeah.
Nervous again now ahead of this North London derby. Arsenal starting to gel a little bit. Players maligned, starting to come back into form. Yeah. Spurs, not so much.
Spurs looked good early on and now suddenly seem to have taken a step back.
Yeah, it happens a lot when we do a lot of the cup games. What do they call that? Continental fatigue, when after you play a game in the Europa League and whatever. I would like us to win. It's tough always being the redheaded stepchild of the Premier League. We're in ninth now, and we were top of the table a few weeks ago, so it's a little heartbreaking.
Well, you definitely have an advantage in the shirts department. You're not wearing those very tight-fitting shirts.
No, but we do have that yellow one.
Yeah. Cuts down on the chafing.
Yeah, without a doubt. well, Adam,
If we were to ask you how badly you want this, if I was to say to you, if I were to offer you a lifetime supply of Lucky 13 Salt Lake City spicy candied bacon Cajun burgers on one hand, or say Tottenham fourth this season, which would you take?
Absolutely the Champions League place fourth. Absolutely. I will forego the candied bacon thingy, and yes, it would be nice to see that little star on the side of a Tottenham jersey.
You're a big man.
I'm working on it.
You're looking good. I'll tell you, for a first guest, Rog, how smart does he look in his tweed? That looks like tweed. It's got a purple and a blue stripe. The tie matches perfectly.
Thank you very much. I went London. I went Ted Baker for you guys.
That's very nice.
I can. I even brought a gift for the panic room.
Oh, come on. What's the gift?
Cough it up.
What's the
gift? Well, because you mentioned soccer, and I've loved you guys for many, many years, and I think you guys really helped see the game. This is actually the wristband I wore during Soccer Aid. To represent my country. I was one of the only three Americans on the team, and that was the one that I wore at Old Trafford.
Oh, it smells fantastic, Rog. It smells good.
A little bit of yapsam.
It smells of scrotal rot.
You might get to wear that at your initiation ceremony when you become an American city. Rog just said scrotal rot.
That's Mourinho's, not mine.
Oh, it's wonderful.
I do everything to impress the coach.
Yapsam scrotal rot.
Anyway. Thanks so much, Adam.
My pleasure, David.
To have you here.
Godspeed this weekend. This is the recovery position.
Yeah,
not in the face.
In the face.
Oh, David, just listening to him makes me hungry.
Yeah, without a doubt. He's a very, very good guest, Rog. He really knows what he's talking about. Very passionate about the game.
He's like a pucker pie come to life.
He enjoyed the pies too. Okay, Rog, on to the Ravens from Brian Lux. That's another great American name, Rog, from Charlotte, North Carolina. Guys, while watching the pregame ceremonies for the Bayern München-Man City Champions League game, I noticed how intimidating the Bayern players' tunnel was. The stairs go down and then up again to the field, and there was a soft red lighting that reminded me of when Darth Vader fought Luke Skywalker on the Death Star. I love this soccer pregame tradition because it requires so much poise while there is palpable tension between the players. Like running into an ex-girlfriend at a nice restaurant. So my question is, which team has the best players' tunnel? Bayern München, like I described, Real Madrid with the chain-link fence separating the teams, or some other Premier League team? Good question, Rog.
Everton's is so old-fashioned.
Yeah.
And oldie-worldy. The two teams can't even fit in side by side. They're pre-televisual construction. Liverpool's is fascinating.
Yeah.
Tunnel in flux.
Yeah.
They have a "This is Anfield" sign that used to strike fear into opponents before they went on the field, and now it just looks like a quaint piece of plywood you have over a bar in an old pub. Do you have a favourite? Schalke this season, amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been in many of those tunnels. When I have been in these stadiums, it's amazing, especially many of the English ones. They were built at a time before people got that big, Rog. They're not really designed for modern humans. It's like when you go to an old medieval castle and you see the doorways are only about 5 foot high. I must say, having spent time at the at Allianz Arena at the Bayern Munich Stadium, that whole stadium is gorgeous inside and out. And I'm sure a lot of Bavarian thought went into exactly how to intimidate opposing teams in that tunnel.
Schalke, whose nickname is the Miners, they're in a coal... a rich area, their Veltins Arena tunnel. Bizarrely, kind of thoughtful, slightly eerie gesture. They've replicated a coal mine this season. Mm-hmm. They wanted to unsettle opponents with, quote, dimly lit enclosures that would remind the home team of the club's local working class roots. These multi-million, it's like Pittsburgh Steelers, multi-millionaire footballers walking through a reproduction of a steel smelter as they enter the field. I read an interview last week with the designer who designed Aston Villa's tunnel.
Yeah.
And he said, I wasn't trying to create a tunnel. I was more trying to create an experience. It made me think, what experience would you create in your tunnel, David, when you own a team?
Yeah. The question is, what would I would want it to smell of? I love the smell of sausage.
I came up with, to say for name, because I came up with, I would like it to smell of pigs in the blanket.
Yeah.
And then I'd like to have...
sausage and pastry.
I'd like to have Sade playing Paradise, that hit. It's evocative, and it kind of is absolutely mesmerizing. I'd have ping pong tables in there and Playboy centerfolds all along the wall to try and distract my opponents and give them the thickening. that the pigs in the blanket would just be blasting out that smell, and I'd make my own players walk down the tunnel wearing horse blinkers and nose clips.
Yeah, good idea.
It'd be like walking on the field being 1-0 up already, David.
That's so good. This week's winner of the coveted Guinness Men in Blazers Poet, Philosopher, Saka, Scribe, Raven of the Week, Rog, it's Sam Bernstein. Here's his question on Jewish holidays and Saka, Rog. Hey, Rog and Devo, in honour of Rosh Hashanah being upon us, Shana Tova,
Jewish New Year,
I wanted to know who are your favourite Jewish footballers of all time. And no, Devo, Roman Abramovich does not count. Love the pod. Makes my week every time I listen on the way to work. Courage and all the best, Sam. Rog, I believe this is a question for you.
Well, and will I answer it very quickly?
Yeah.
Old New Year, I want to wish everyone happy and healthy.
Yeah.
I'd say New Year's a time for thinking about what you want to change in the year ahead. Huh. So think about that, David.
Wow.
And I'm going to read out 11 players, and then I want to hear okay. Are you just going to change your approach okay. to life? Just think about it.
Okay. Could be a good lead.
There's not that many
surprise,
Jewish players.
Rog.
And it was one of the things that upset me most about this World Cup.
Uh-huh.
It was bereft. It was absolutely bereft. Goalkeeper, I'd have Dudu Awat, mm-hmm. who had great time in the Spanish leagues, Racing Santander, Deportivo. He was absolutely hopeless. Terrible goalkeeper. Defenders, I'd reach back in time to the 1920s and take Bela Gutman of the classic Akoach Vienna side.
Man United are looking at him now.
Oh, he became a tactical genius as a manager. Alongside the late, great Avi Cohen, passed away recently. Very sad. Used to sit behind me in synagogue when he played for Liverpool. Mm-hmm. Juan Pablo Soran, captain of Argentina.
Yeah.
In 2006, he'd be my captain.
Yeah.
For this side, Jeff Agoose. I love the Goose.
I love the Goose. I love watching him play.
Played for West Bromwich Albion on loan. Those are some of the high holy days for that man. In the midfield, a bit weak. Guy Asselin, the Barcelona wunderkind, turned Manchester City flop. I'm playing for Mallorca. Edgar Davids.
Yeah.
We're going to claim him as our own. Ajax, AC Milan, Juventus Holland. Johan Neeskens.
Yeah.
Oh, you like him, don't you?
Yeah, a lovely player.
And Yossi Benayoun?
Yes, love him.
Oh, beautiful. As beautiful a footballer as he is, ugly as a human being. And then one up on his own.
Something dagger, Yossi Benayoun.
The Negev dagger. Ronnie Rosenthal, David.
Yes.
Up front, on his own. Absolutely exquisite. He has no neck and no goal-scoring ability whatsoever. The manager, Jose Pekerman of Argentina.
Yeah, he's good.
And also Colombia. Coincidentally, my favourite manager in world football.
Yeah, weirdly.
And then on the subs bench, all the crap American players, Jonathan Spector, Jonathan Bornstein, and I love Benny Feilhaber.
Yeah.
And then I'd have the best sub of all, my super sub, Yael Averbuch.
Yeah.
New Jersey Lady Stallions, Sky Blue FC, Western New York Flash. And USA. What are you working on, Dave?
Well, Rog, for the new year, Rog, I've got a big announcement. I've got a big announcement. Yesterday evening in Columbia, Tennessee, Rog, a young puppy was born, a litter of 11 puppies. He was the fourth male, a black lab, was born. And this is going to be our GDOP, Rog, our great dog of the pod. He's coming to be Davo's best friend, the black dog. Is going to be coming to New York City in 7 weeks' time. I'm buying a black dog, my black puppy.
Churchill called the Depression
my boy,
the black dog.
The GDOP. And to all GFOPs, you know, I need a name. We need a name for our great dog of the pod. And so this is the competition. We'll post a photo later of this very, very young puppy. And I need a name.
Manuel Neuer.
Don't bother sending in Fat Frank, the English muffin. It's not going to be Hope Solo. I'm not going to call it any of those things. Send in genuine names that we can really call this dog. He'll be appearing, I think, in about 7 weeks' time on our TV show, Rog, making his first appearance.
Manuel Neuer.
The great dog of the... It will not be Manuel Neuer.
Becker dog.
Becker dog will be a candidate, Rog. You could win
you
that.
Can be
we'll
better.
Have to figure out what you win, but competition to name the great dog.
David, you've
got
to come up with a very serious prize for that.
Yeah, I will come up with a great prize. Another dog. I don't know. We'll come up with a prize. Okay, Rog.
David, here's what I'm working on the year ahead. I want to stop being doom-laden. I want this Cossacks always coming approach to life to get. I want to be full of love and joy, David. Love
really?
It's going to be a new Rog.
Yeah, okay. We'll see what happens. How are you feeling about it? We'll talk about the derby this weekend in a second, Rog. Okay, your weekend looks like this. Derby weekend, Rog. Liverpool versus Everton, Saturday, 7:45 a.m. Eastern time. Chelsea versus Villa. That's not really Derby weekend. Saturday at 10. Arsenal versus Tottenham. That is a Derby, Rog. Saturday at 12:30. All games on the NBC family of networks. We don't even know what networks they're going to be on, Rog. And finally, New York Red Bull at the LA Galaxy, Rog. Sunday, 8:30 p.m. That's on ESPN2. The Derby, Rog, what are you thinking with your New Year's resolution in mind?
David, I cannot stand the Derby.
Yeah.
I cannot stand the Derby. It's a game that matters too much. Everyone pretends that it's like they're so excited all week in Liverpool, in the city. It's like the biggest thing ever. But the honest truth is, it does. I once asked Simon Critchley, the new school philosopher. He specialises in twin subjects that I care about very much, death and disappointment. He's a big Liverpool fan. And he said about the Derby, the thing that's so upsetting is there's endlessly renewed hope around this game and both teams need it very badly. But he also said it's the hope that kills you. I fear a Balotelli hat-trick. I believe this is going to be the only game he dominates all year. I found, Davo, my source of when I realised that I was going to be doom-laden. It was in 1983. I was 12 and I played rugby for the school on the morning of the Derby. And I was playing fullback and I got a knee in the head. And then I had to watch. It was live on television, which was very rare. And then I watched the game. Everton lost 3-0. They let a goal in the 16th minute. They were never in the game. And I found the photo, Davo, today, of me, age 12, with the huge, huge black eye. I don't know how you'd describe it, Davo.
This is one of the saddest pictures ever. We've got to put this up on meninblazers.com for so many reasons. Just the plant in the back. I could do an hour on that. And the armchair, your big feet at the front. You just look forlorn and bereft.
And half my face is smashed in, and it felt like the other half was smashed in as well by the time the final whistle went.
Yeah. So what are you thinking? What's your prediction for the Derby?
3-0, Balotelli hat-trick. 3-0,
Balotelli hat-trick. I thought you just said your New Year's resolution is you're not going to be a harbinger of doom and gloom.
You make resolutions. You don't necessarily keep them.
Okay, many ways to connect to us. One is our Amazon Emporium, which helps keep the show going. Anytime you go on Amazon for items, big or small, just click off the Emporium page. Men in Blazers gets a tiny percentage that allows us to cover the costs of creating the show. What are you putting in the Emporium this week, Rog?
FIFA 50.
Oh,
I love
good
it
idea.
Like I love football, David. Yeah.
For me, Rog, Ryder Cup coming up this weekend. Good time to watch television, brush up on your golf.
I'll be getting up at 3 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, best.
Those early drive. I won't be able to sleep anyway. I'm so excited.
Best golf book I've ever read. Ben Hogan, Five Lessons. It's just a classic book of instruction. All of that stuff, timeless, Roger.
Can I just say one thing about the Ryder Cup?
Yeah.
Other than that, we're going to be recording a preview for it, which is going to run on the Golf Channel.
I know. They don't quite know what they're going to get.
The Ryder Cup summons such a bizarre muscle from my body that I rarely use.
Your European muscle.
Yeah. Come on, Europe.
I know. We never say that.
Yeah.
With that European flag, waving the European flag. It's so odd. Okay, the second way to connect to us, our newsletter, The Raven. It's fueled by Guinness.
I actually cheer for America.
It collates the best Ravens and our own writing, you and David Faherty, on a weekly basis. Sign up via meninblazers.com. We will both post what we are reading, listening to, or watching. Also, new listeners, please download on iTunes and Amazon our Best Of album, which is somehow still soaring up the Billboard comedy charts, Rog.
It's number 4.
Oh, Men in Blazers Unbuttoned. Now, that's what I call suboptimal. Also, click on our wonderful, independently GFOP-maintained wiki, meninblazers.wikispaces.com. It's a wonder of the modern world. As always, you can find all of our content at meninblazers.com. Follow us on Twitter, at Rog Bennett, at Embassy Davies, at Men in Blazers. Our Instagram, at Men in Blazers. Like us on Facebook. We have a subreddit, Roger. What? We have a subreddit. It's maintained by GFOP Akshay. That's at reddit.com/r/Men in Blazers. You can email us at meninblazers@gmail.com. Send your ravens, as always, beautiful weather in New York, Roger, to the crap part of Soho. Vendorpunk, Roger.
War pig.
Who wants to sex Mutombo?
Explosion!
Courage!
Size the day.
Is that your analysis?
To tweed!
Abrigado, rock on, mate.
Kung fu fighting, Davo.
Love you, Rog.
Love you, America.